Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of faith, of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your truth, for your grace, and we pray now that your Spirit would enlighten us, equip us, Lord, convict us to better serve you, to better be your people. We ask this in Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Our passage begins, my son, my son. This is about the ninth time in Proverbs that this term and this address is used. My son, listen to my words. My son, don't forget what I say. My son, don't despise the discipline of the Lord. We know that this is a wise father speaking to his son about wisdom. He's trying to prepare him for living a life of faith, living a life as a leader. This is Solomon, the first take, speaking to his son Rehoboam. But by extension, this is the Lord speaking to you, dear Christian. He's speaking to you because you are his son and his daughter by grace through faith. He has become your father. And for those of us that haven't had the best of fathers in this world, and I'm glad if you've had a great father, when you become a Christian, the fatherhood of God, adoption into his family, means everything. Because you have a father that'll never leave you, that loves you, that guards you. And you're adopted into his forever family. Verse 20. My son, pay attention. Listen. Keep them in your heart. In other words, he's saying, memorize them. Memorize what I'm going to say. And then we come to verse 22. Because they give life. In Hebrew, it means they're actually alive. They bring life. Solomon says they even bring healing to brokenness. And then we come to verse 23, the real focus this morning of this message. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Can you say that with me? It's an easy verse. We could memorize this in 10 seconds. Say it with me. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, I may call on one of you to say that just to test you during the message this morning. In Hebrew, the heart is a metaphor for our deepest commitments, our deepest loves. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart is the command and control center of our thinking, our feelings, our actions, of boldness, of courage. And that is why the heart matters so much. It's the wellspring, the fountainhead, the source out of which our lives flow. You know, almost 90 times just in Proverbs, the word heart is repeated. In our world today, you've heard this, follow your heart. Follow your heart. It's a popular phrase. It's kind of a cultural creed. The belief that our heart is a kind of compass, and if we follow it, we're going to find happiness and fulfillment and truth. But the end of that road really ends in sadness and pain and misery. And the reason is this. God's word says through Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And the reason the heart is broken is because of this. Since the fall of Adam, we continue his sin, their sin. We take the truth of God and exchange it for lies. Apostle Paul put it this way, because the heart is so sick and deceptive, Paul says, no one is righteous. There's no one that seeketh after God. We all have turned away. The heart is a special focus of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. He says even more about the heart, just a few things. On one occasion in Mark's gospel, he was healing a man with a withered hand in the synagogue, and the Pharisees were watching him, and they were about ready to explode because they didn't want him to heal on the Sabbath day. They were the Sabbath police, you see. And so Jesus heals the man, the withered man, and he said to them, what would you rather do on the Sabbath, give life or take away life? And Mark tells us that Jesus was angry and grieved at the hardness of their hearts. On another occasion, Jesus condemned hypocrites, and he said, there are people that honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. But probably the most difficult passage to accept is when Jesus said, what comes out of a man from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice. The list goes on and on. All these evils, Jesus said, come from inside and make a man unclean. That's another reason why the heart matters. No wonder Jesus is so concerned about your heart. No wonder God told Samuel the prophet, when Samuel thought he had found the king, one of the sons of Jesse, who seemed to be so magnificent from the outside. Remember what God said to Samuel? He said, Samuel, people look on the outside, on the appearance, and they think they know the truth. But the Lord looks at the heart, examines the heart. He sees it all. The heart matters also because in the history of redemption, from the first Adam to the second Adam, Jesus Christ, there is this promise of a new covenant that we've read about, in which Jesus Christ would give a new heart to replace that heart that is broken by sin. The gospel of grace can also be called the gospel of the new heart. Christian, if you were in one of John Bunyan's novels, he could call you Mr. Newhart or Mrs. Newhart, and it would be true. God says through Jeremiah, I will make a new covenant and I'm going to write it on my people's hearts by the Spirit of God. Remember that part of it. And later, Ezekiel, a prophet, God spoke through him. I'm going to give my people a new heart and I will remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit upon them. That is one of the reasons why Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again by the Spirit of God, who calls you by grace through faith and makes your heart new. Without Jesus Christ, your heart is broken. You've got a bad heart. And people far from Christ don't want a new heart. That seems ridiculous to them. But if the Spirit of God is working on you, and you're thinking and you're learning about Jesus Christ, and you're not quite there yet, the Spirit of God is showing you how empty your heart is without Him. You're seeing more and more that you do need something new, that you do need Him. And I encourage you to seek Him, because those who seek Him usually find Him. When you become a Christian, God gives you a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But God also tells us, please listen. He says, above all else, do what? Guard your heart. I'm testing you. Guard your heart. Because even after all that God has done for you, Christian, we still sing, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it and seal it for thy courts above. The truth here is that there is still in us as Christian people a secret and perpetual tendency to wander from God, to leave the God I love, who loves me. And that leads us to our next point, how the heart goes wrong. The unguarded heart can go to terrible places. Come with me in our Bible helicopter and let's go back to creation, to Genesis 2. Here's the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve, who are in a covenant of creation with Almighty God. And they were to govern the earth under God's sovereignty as stewards. And in Genesis 15, God tells Adam, Adam, I want you to keep the sanctuary. I want you to guard the sanctuary of the garden. The word here is shamar. And in Hebrew, it means to guard, to watch, to keep, even to keep out. How did they do? They failed. And the results were deadly. The same word shamar was used after the Lord cast them out of the garden. Remember, east of Eden. And he put an angel with a flaming sword to guard it. To guard the sanctuary, to guard the tree of life. And the word that is used to that angel that he would guard it, shamar, it's the same word that's in our text. Above all else, do what? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. John Bunyan is famous for Pilgrim's Progress, but another Bunyan book is called The Holy War, in which he pictured the soul as a walled city surrounded by enemies. And there are enemies outside the city that must be resisted, and there are traitors inside the city who need to be exposed and defeated. The new heart of a Christian is like that walled city that needs to be guarded and kept and defended. Because that new heart of yours is also so valuable and precious. It's a treasure. My sister, Judy, was a viola major and a strings teacher in Buffalo for years and years. You know where it snows? Where she just got 51 inches of snow and then 3 feet of snow. She loves it. It's a great place. Imagine if my sister Judy received a call from the Smithsonian Institute and they loaned her a Stradivari viola that they have there. And they said, we're going to loan this to you for a year, right? Well, you would think an instrument like a viola like that, so valuable, worth millions, you'd think it would like tune itself, you know? You don't have to do anything to take care of it. But every time my sister would play it, she'd have to tune it. She'd have to rosin up the bow. She'd have to take care of it. Your heart also falls out of tune. You daily need to guard your heart because it is the wellspring of your life. If you keep your heart in tune, then something beautiful can be played, will be heard, will be seen, will be felt by those around you. But the unguarded heart, as I said before, can go to terrible places. You know, I just happened to have brought with me an acorn, this little thing. But you know, the amazing thing about this acorn is so little, it's so tiny. If it is put in, has all the right conditions, the soil, the sun, the moisture, this thing will become a huge oak tree. Oak tree. Roots go so deep. Giant. You'd never think that something this little could become that huge and strong. And you see, sin is like that. If you don't guard your heart, that sin comes into your life as something small. You ignore it. You neglect it. And guess what happens? If it has all the right conditions, it grows and grows and grows. Becomes more and more difficult, affecting other people. It's a disaster. That brings us to our third point, David's prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit within me. That same David, as king one night or one day, I'm not sure when it happened, but he was in the palace, he was walking on the roof, you know what I'm going to say, and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And that little acorn dropped into his heart. He wasn't guarding his heart. He didn't want to guard his heart. And she was very beautiful. And she was also very married. Guard your heart, David. What are you doing? Well, he calls for her to come over to the palace. What's wrong with you, David? You know what's in your heart. Remember that acorn, what is going to happen to you? But no, the momentum of sin just took off. You know, it was like a train. He could have stopped and got off the train, but he took it all the way to the end. And you know what happened? It got worse and worse. That oak tree was growing. Lust, that was the first sin. Then adultery, then the cover-up of that. And then murder. And he was forgiven. But remember that there were consequences. You can be forgiven of your sin. Praise God for Jesus Christ. But there may be consequences that last your entire life. David had consequences like that. You know, every time you hear the story of a Christian whose life is blown up because of some moral failure, you can be sure of this one thing. That behind that story, the person had a long history of not dealing with their own sin. They just neglected it. They overlooked it. Remember the acorn. We never outgrow our need to guard our heart. against unbelief, against falling away. You guard your heart in a lot of ways, but one way is by watching it. Paul said to Timothy, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, watch your life and doctrine. A car has a dashboard, and you can kind of tell what's going on in the engine by the dashboard. You know, you have speedometer, you have temperature gauges, you have fuel gauges. You know, you need all of those things. What would happen if you had a dashboard for your heart? What would that look like, a dashboard for your heart? Well, there'd be a couple of gauges on there. There'd be some warning lights that would come in, maybe for fear, maybe for sexual immorality, for sure in these days, right? For greed, maybe another warning light for envy. That got Paul. That gets us too. Verse 24, here's one. Put away perversity from your mouth. Speech. Your speech, Jesus Christ says, should be one of those gauges on the dashboard of your heart. Jesus said, you can know what's going on in your heart by your speech. Lies, deceit, hypocrisy, falsehood. These are all traitors within the city. There's no place for them. Guard your heart above all else. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. Now, you might be saying, you know, Jim, I'm hearing all this stuff about sin. This is such a downer for me. Two things I want to say. You'll never really grow in grace unless you understand the depth of sin in our world and in our lives. It's true. But against that, let me also say what Robert Murray McChain's advice was. For every look at yourself, look 10 times at Jesus Christ. That's the balance we need. What would your life look like if you are guarding your heart in 2023? What would flow out of it? David prays, renew a right spirit within me. Well, the Spirit of God is already in you, Christian. If you're guarding your heart, that Spirit of Christ, that Spirit of adoption would well up and grow and grow, and you would grow and have such assurance of the love of God for you. You would have such assurance of the goodness of God, that His will for your life. You'd be like Joseph. Remember, he said, well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Where did he get that from? That's what your life would look like if you're guarding your heart, keeping your heart, that Stradivarius. You're keeping the acorns from growing. Guard your heart above all else because it is the wellspring of your life. And finally, if you're guarding your heart this year, more and more, you would grow a love for people that are lost, for people that need Jesus Christ, for people whose lives are just in ruin. Instead of passing them by, ignoring them, you'd put them on your radar screen. You'd be praying for them. And more, you would find the way to be a witness to them, to tell them about Jesus Christ. You don't need to take a course. You don't need to have a degree in evangelism. Think of the woman at the well of Samaria, remember? Like that, she turned and she went to her town and she said, I want you to come and hear what this man said about me and what he's done for my life. And so, above all else this year, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of your life. Let's finish by just saying that verse, okay? Above all else, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. Father, we thank you for your truth and your word and your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be people that are keeping our hearts, that are growing in our understanding of being adopted children of yours. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.